Welcome to Off Message. I'm Isaac Devere. Today's guest, Puerto Rico Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez. Congresswoman is the technical term. She doesn't actually have a vote in Congress, so she's also known as the resident commissioner. But she is the one that Puerto Rican voters sent to Washington starting in January. It's her first term to represent them. It's easy to not think about what's going on in Puerto Rico. It can seem like it's far away, even though it's not. And there certainly isn't a lot of television coverage about what's happening there anymore, though the situation in some places is actually growing more desperate. Consider what state of mind you have to be in to go to a Superfund site looking for drinking water. It's nuts. Meanwhile, I have President Trump talking about what's going on there and saying that the island was in bad shape before the hurricanes and now it's in worse shape. And all of this comes together in Gonzalez's mind and in her work, and I was really glad to get a chance to catch up with her, talk about how it factors in for her on both a policy level and a personal level. Because this is still going on and we're going to keep talking about it. You'll hear her tear up talking about what this experience has been, the kind of ad hoc community living that's taken root since Hurricane Maria hit. There's a line that struck me from what she said when Bridge and I sat down with her in her office on Capitol Hill. She said, "Your life is like stopping without knowing what is going to happen next." But the word she kept using in our conversation about the president is shocking. She was talking about the tweets and the comments beating up on Puerto Rico, blaming the debt crisis and the poor infrastructure for the situation that's happened since. It's really a striking contrast, especially when she talked about being on Air Force One with President Trump on his way to San Juan 2 weeks ago, and having what she said was a really engaged conversation with him, that he was on top of it, very eager to say how he was going to help and that the help would keep coming. She has proudly displayed in a cabinet by her desk a red Make America Great Again hat that the president signed in black Sharpie, along with a glass from Air Force One and a box of Air Force One M&Ms. She was the chair of the Republican Party in Puerto Rico before coming to Congress. So she's ready to be with President Trump, but there's a level of franticness to her from when I brought up what the president said and frustration with what is going on, a clear anxiety about where it's going to lead. Politics can be fun, and I love talking about it. I'm sure you guys all love listening to it, but a situation like this is where the politics really bangs up against reality. You'll find a lot of this in the article that I wrote on our website at politico.com, and that also includes some comments from other members of Congress that I talked to on the topic and how Trump and the comments from the president has polarized and divided Democrats and Republicans, even on the issue of recovery. So check that out, too. Remember to subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. And like what you hear? Make sure you've told a friend or family member or coworker about Off Message. Catch up on old episodes. And get ready for what we've got coming into the fall. Eric Holder coming up. And there's also a really raw conversation I had with Nancy Pelosi over two different sessions. Email me at isaac@politico.com. Like me on Facebook and Twitter at Isaac Devere. Let me know what you think and who else you want to hear. And now, my conversation with Jennifer Gonzalez. So usually the way that things go when a disaster hits is that the storm comes and the recovery effort begins and then it starts to get better. And a couple weeks out, it's better. A lot of people in Puerto Rico are saying it's worse now than it was at the beginning.
It was worse in the beginning. I can be sure of that. I was there. I mean, I was there in my house holding the door during the hurricane. We never expected to have
literally holding the door closed?
Literally holding the door. I mean, and that was not just me. I mean, people there were taking water out of the houses. I mean, my house would have been flooded for 1 inch of water in the two stories. But one thing is, you know, be holding the door or be there for 9 hours. That it was almost the time that the hurricane took place in the island. And another thing is just when you get out of your house, seeing all the debris and no power, and we usually expect to have no power after a hurricane, but it will take 2 weeks, a week and a half to recover. But I mean, when the officials are telling you that it could take almost to 8 months without power, that's scary. Actually, one of the things that happened after the hurricane is that every Puerto Rican now know their neighbor. We're used to be relying on cell phones or just doing your things without actually taking time to see what's going on. When you don't have power, I mean, all the neighbors are out. People are not working. Schools are closed. So you see the resilience of people actually doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for your neighbor. That happened with me. My own neighbors did that for me for a week. I don't cook. And I don't have power in my house.
You didn't cook long before the hurricane.
No. I'm always in the run. So it was shocking. Your life is like stopping without knowing what's going to happen next. If you're going to have water. I mean, I got a lot of friends. I got water in my house. But my mom never got water for like a week, and then she received it. But you got people who actually ask you, can I take a shower in your house? I mean, those are the things that are really happening. In my case, I will tell you this. I needed to use a lot of towels and comforters and sheet linens just to wash away the flood from my own house. You can use your washing machine because you don't have power. So, you know, all that smell, all that problem. This is just me. I mean, all the people who took their appliances are broke, or I do lose some windows. But, I mean, people lost a lot of what they got. Access to a cell phone just to call and say, I need more medicines, or I need to take my mom to the doctor, or I need to do that. For me personally, without knowing about my grandmothers, one in Villalba and one in Aguabo, how my relatives were, my aunts, my cousins, and you actually sending people, can you go there? Do you know if it's just okay? I mean, that's happening in the whole island. And I can imagine the frustration of a lot of people in the mainland trying to call and not, you know, receiving an answer.
Right before we started, you were trying to call four different numbers and it didn't go through, right?
And now the communications are 50%.
Right.
But during the first week, there was zero. Actually, today in my house, I don't have signal. And I live in Carolina, which is near the San Juan area. So you can rely on communications at this time. And it's so going back. I travel a lot. And you never expect to be, I mean, not all banks were open during the first week. So you need to use cash. So you can pay with credit cards. Things that are, I mean, you can't live with a credit card here. But then Puerto Rico at that time, no power, no credit cards, no cell phones, no water. A lot of debris on the roads. Neighbors were the one cleaning the streets before the National Guard came. What are you going to do with people who need treatment? Thanks God for the Coast Guard. Again, the Coast Guard was there in a rescue mission for more than 800 people that I know because my office managed the transfers of those people to different hospitals or even to the mainland. That's on a daily basis.
How are your grandmothers doing?
I mean, a lot of damage in their houses, but they're fine. I haven't seen them yet because I've been traveling and doing, trying to help the whole island.
It must be hard to, like, at the same time you're thinking about getting this cabinet secretary or that cabinet secretary on the line, you also have to think about what about my grandma, you know.
What about, yeah, but I mean, when we were elected, we know that we need, if I solve the problem for the rest of the island, I will solve the problem for my own people. And I mean, the governor is doing a wonderful job, but I mean, we still need a lot of more resources. People can't understand what Puerto Rico is living now. I mean, you see the TV, you see the flood areas, but today's raining, so you will have more flooded areas tomorrow. And that means more problems coming up.
Do you know anyone who's gotten to the hospital, who's gotten sick or been hurt by the hurricane and dealing with
personally, no, but I do receive calls from mayors saying I need to transfer this patient that is receiving dialysis and it's going to die if we don't move it to a hospital that can treat them. And I coordinate with Coast Guard, I coordinate with all the federal agencies to take care of that patient. Even in all of humanitarian help that we've been receiving from planes and other stuff, I'm using that planes to have people inside just to come back to the States.
So what's it tell you about yourself, though, and how you think about your own approach? You mentioned, you know, your grandmother. These are stories from your grandmother of people washing clothes in the river. But also, I imagine you never thought that you'd have to go and have people showering in your house. Or, you know, the only thing that I can relate this to, and is at so much of a smaller scale, is in 2003 when there was the big blackout on the East Coast and I was living in New York and in my apartment for 3 days, the toilets didn't work. And that was getting resolved as it happened, and it was a minor thing. There was no other damage.
When I arrived here to D.C., the first day I came, it was a Coast Guard who gave me a ride from San Juan to D.C. because there was no commercial plane at that time. It was almost like 6 days after the hurricane, more or less. And I arrived to my apartment here, and I actually opened the refrigerator, and I closed it because, I mean, for me, it was like I have power here and I don't have power there. And actually, you begin to give a lot of thanks to have water, running water. I mean, those are things that we are used to have, and now you don't have it. So
you live this double life in Washington and back home, right? Because you've got everything you need here, right? And
if I'm not here, who's the one who's going to be?
No, but what I mean is, in your apartment, you've got everything you need. Everything here, it's fine.
Yeah, and
do you feel guilty about that?
I mean, yes, I mean you feel different because you begin to value those things, those simple things, to go to shop and have a bottle of water, and you had to make a line in Puerto Rico to get one. Same thing with, you know, I want to take a shower, and can you in Puerto Rico? I mean, even having a roof, a place to stay. I mean, that's those simple things. When people are still in shelters. In the island. I don't know if 8,000 people still in shelters, but those are the things that you begin to value more. That's what I say, your life change, Puerto Rico change, and the priorities change. When I was working with, you know, what do I lose, the AC in my house or whatever damage I receive, and I see the rest of the people without a house, I mean, you began to understand that everything is different. That what happens to me is nothing in comparison what the people are suffering there. To receive calls and ask you directly, if I don't get my father out of the island, he will die because of the dialysis, and actually try to solve that problem. I receive those kind of texts daily.
Is the death count is one of the things that's been
48.
Right, 48. But
today.
But people seem to think that it might actually be a lot higher than that, into the 400 numbers.
Unfortunately, it will be higher because each day you're going to begin to face other kind of challenges because of the hurricane.
That it may already be higher is the question of whether these deaths have not actually been reported properly. That's right.
I mean, that process is underway. I mean, yeah. Yesterday was 44. Now today is 48. So that number, you know, is going to unfortunately is going to increase in the next weeks because people are in the hospitals. People may be affected by not having power in their homes, and they're using some equipment. I personally know because I helped the Coast Guard to coordinate the transfers for more than 25 patients of chemo from one town to another one. And I will tell you this, the people from the National Guard, the Coast Guard, are doing the job efficiently. The problem is that we need more boots on the ground. I mean, I was yesterday, Governor Scott from Florida was here, And he just told me that he got more than 61 personnel working with the power grid, and they restored the power grid of Florida in just 4 days. We don't have.
So what's the issue? Why not?
I mean, he told me, of course, it was different because they were receiving the states that were near Florida, and it's just driving to Florida. In our case, you need to go by air or by sea.
It's not like it's such a long flight, though.
It's not the issue of the long flight. It's how do you put those trucks and those resources in a plane or on a barge to actually get there. The governor even said that they don't have enough equipment just to repair the current power grid. So this is a bigger challenge. Although we are receiving the help, at this time it's not enough, and that's the reason General Buchanan asked for more troops on underground.
But there are people who think, and some of these people are your colleagues in Congress, who say that that's because Puerto Rico is being treated like second-class citizens, that there is not the same attention or imperative to do something that there was after the hurricane in Florida, after the hurricane in Texas. Is that right?
I mean, there's a reality here. And that reality is that not everybody understood that Puerto Rico are American citizens. I think the only good thing this hurricane brought us is that now everybody knows that we are American citizens, and we are 3.4 million American citizens, actually. I'm the only one representing them in Congress, but I can't vote in the floor. So I do represent more people in the entire Congress than any other member of Congress, than any other senator, but I can vote in the floor. So that will tell you how territories are treated differently, not just in terms of the common representation, but in the programs.
Do you know personally people who don't have roofs?
Yes.
Don't have drinking water?
Yes.
Friends beyond constituents,
yes,
obviously.
Yes.
What are they telling you?
They are desperate. They are in a dire situation, and every time I brought a delegation from Congress or the Vice President, and we got the opportunity to overfly some of those areas, it's not the same thing actually seen in the TV or on a picture in a newspaper that actually looking at the people walking through those rooms without a roof. So we're still in a tropical season. We're still in a tropical in a hurricane season. So you will have rainings. I mean, today is raining there. What are those people doing?
With no roofs.
With no roof. And you got another complication here. As the half of the island is without communications, 80% is without power. How do you apply to have a blue tarp being installed in your home? So you need to actually go manually filling blanks to have the mayor to send that to the Corps of Engineers, and that contractor, so that that contractor can actually put the blue tarp. It's a long process. And in the meantime, what are you doing?
Right. Do you have friends, your family who are saying to you, hey, Jennifer, can you help me out? Like, I know you've got a lot.
Every time I come back, I'm flying, you know.
You said 4 times a week, right?
More or less 4 times a week. I'm bringing diesel cans, I'm bringing medicines, I'm bringing even water cans empty so that I can fill it up.
Did you bring that on Air Force One when you went?
Actually, yes.
Yeah. And Air Force Two.
And I did it with Secretary
Duke. So you're bringing
Duke.
Supplies on Air Force?
Yes, actually, I traveled with a lot of luggage. And they were looking at me.
When I've flown on Air Force One, they don't give us a lot of luggage space.
I know.
But maybe it's different when you're not a reporter.
I say specifically, and I open it. I mean, it was a diesel can there.
And the dogs sniff it and make sure that it's okay.
It was empty. So, but I got medicines. I got dry food. Also, a lot of medicines and a lot of, you know, just to camp showers to help them, you know, manage those issues. And every time I fly, that's what I do. And still, we need so much help. I mean, people can't imagine how people in Puerto Rico are suffering at this time. I mean, when you don't have power, and your life is in danger because you need to be connected to a machine, or when you don't have nobody who can take care of you. That's what's happening there.
Stories of people trying to get drinking water out of the Superfund sites. such a level of desperation to get to that point, right?
It's a desperation situation. It's a desperate situation, I may say, because now, thanks to God and all the efforts, you got access to the supermarkets and you got access to stores, but you still got to do a long line. And many of the times, you got a lot of containers in the ports waiting for drivers to just have the logistics to move that to the right hands. So it's going to take time, but as the governor and the General Buchanan ask, we need more boots on the ground.
So as we're sitting here, the House just voted on an aid package and included money for Puerto Rico and Texas
Actually,
and Florida.
In that area, I'm more than grateful. I mean, I am grateful of all of my colleagues that have been with me during this process, the Speaker of the House, and even the Whip were texting me during the hurricane.
Paul Ryan was texting you during the hurricane?
Yes. And Scalise, who suffers Katrina.
Sure.
And some other members, are you okay? What can we do? I mean, those kind of things. And we're talking about both sides of the aisle. Were encouraging to me to, do the right thing. And that's the reason we asked to have this second package, because the first one was for Irma, and we got to hit by Irma too. But not
like Maria. Maria's.
Of course. Yeah. Maria's right. Totally different. It's the first time since 1928 that we got hit by a hurricane of this category. And actually, it was just 1 mile less to become a Category 5. Just 1 mile per hour. That means Category 5 is catastrophic. There's nothing beyond that.
So one mile per hour short of catastrophic.
Exactly.
Right?
So what that means is that we're going to need more resources.
Your colleagues get it.
Yes.
Does the president get it?
You know what? Maybe I'm going to be naive here, or I don't know. I'm going to be honest. When I was with him in Air Force One, he actually was making me questions directly about everything that the governor asked. I granted it. What else do you need? I'm sending the whole team. I'm sending the whole agencies. We're going to send more troops. We're going to send the U.S. Comfort. We're going to send you more trucks, more drivers. He was actually sharing, we're going to be with you all the way. We're going to be with Puerto Rico is going to stand up. So he was really caring during those meetings we got and in the island. He actually said it again. Then with Vice President Pence, he directly said, we're going to be with you all the way.
Right.
And then when I saw the tweets today.
Right. The tweets today where he said.
I saw it.
Right. We cannot keep FEMA, the military, and the first responders who have been amazing and under the most difficult circumstances in Puerto Rico forever.
That
read to a lot of people as...
Yeah, yes. And for me, it was shocking because I know yesterday I was with the whole Corps of Engineers, FEMA, HHS, and all the federal agencies giving a briefing to the whole House, Democrats and Republicans, and they were talking about all the efforts that are going to continue to arrive to the island. And then you said that.
So what's the deal?
I mean, I don't...
What's
I don't,
going on?
I think that's this is... Of course, we don't want to be on a recovery mode for always. We want to recover soon.
Well,
that's one
right.
thing. That's one thing. So in that, if that is the idea behind it, I mean, nobody wants to be in a recovery mission forever. But having said that, this is not the time for be talking about withdrawing the help. This is not the time to talk about how much it's costing the U.S. because we are American citizens.
I mean, it was noted by many people. Not me alone here, that there was not a statement like that made about Texas or Florida.
Even if he did with those states, that he did not, this is not the time for that. I mean, this is a time of need.
So
this
you
is the
worried time. That he's going to...
I don't think, actually, I received a call from the White House saying that General Kelly, I think he made...
General Kelly spoke to the White House briefing room after those tweets, and we're sitting here in the afternoon after that happened. But it's still, the president was the one who said it, right?
And that's what, it's a little bit shocking. But I do understand, I mean, the vice president was committed, all the forces are going to be there. The Congress just acted today to have this amount of money.
Presumably the president will sign it, right?
And he will sign it. I don't have a doubt on that. My My I don't know if it's frustration or comment on this is, I don't know why he's talking about withdrawn or about the length of the help that, that Puerto Rico needs. I mean, we are U.S. citizens, and we need that help as American citizens, first class, not second, third, not as a territory, not anymore. And that's an issue that we need to solve in another moment, and I wish we were a state. I'll tell you, if we were a state, we already will have a lot of the help that Florida did.
But you pay taxes.
I mean, we do pay federal taxes. Right. I mean, people who are federal employees in the island and some companies are paying federal taxes.
But when the White House calls you after those tweets, what do they say? Don't pay attention to the tweets?
No, I mean, the resources are on the way. All that is being asked is being granted by the president. So that's the reason.
So they don't try to explain what he meant to you?
No, I mean, when you tweet, you said what you're thinking, but it doesn't come with the reality of the resources being sent. I mean, he's sending resources. He's granting everything that is being asked. He's having daily briefings on the island. He's sending the troops. I don't know why.
Does it make you worry that he'll follow through and that there won't be an ongoing effort?
I think once you said publicly that you're going to help, and this is, I mean, this is a duty. I mean, this is not like they want to help or don't want to help. We are U.S. citizens. So
right. It's America.
It's America. Right. So he will do it. I know he will do it. I know the vice president will do it. But I think in the moment of a dire situation, the people are not looking or are not expecting to have this kind of comment. We need hope. We need to be embraced, not to be questioned of how long the recovery process is going to take place, or if you are in an economical situation, it's because of your fault. No, I mean, this is not the time for that. And I will be focusing on what's important, on finding the resources, on finding the money, and I know we're going to get it. So I will not focus on this kind of, you know, comments, because this is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is about American citizens.
I want to ask you, you're in a situation where you're actually in contact with the White House. So but you obviously...
And I will tell you that all his staff, even himself personally, was very caring about Puerto Rico. Yeah. So for me, it's shocking to see those tweets.
Got a lot of heat when he was there for like throwing out the paper towels and the cans of chicken.
People, and I will not justify anybody because I will never do that. But he was receiving. People were saying thank you to him. Because of the help, because of him being there. It's the first time ever we receive a visit from President and First Lady after a hurricane ever. This is the first time that we have a direct communication with the federal officials before, during, and after two hurricanes. It never happened before. So in that term, I will tell you that this administration is being helpful before the hurricanes and during the hurricanes. So his presence in the island was important. Of course, I mean, you're dealing with a president that is always off the script, that it's saying what he thinks. He's not looking about how people take his comments or take his way of doing things. And we need to understand that. I think instead of looking what he says, we need to see what's happening actually. And that's what I'm focused on that. And in that term, everything that is being asked is being granted. So I hope and I expect that to continue. And that's the assurance even his own team from the White House are telling us.
And I want to talk only about President Trump, but what I was trying to say is you're in touch with people at the White House. You're talking to the, you. A lot of Puerto Ricans are not, right? And are seeing what he tweets and seeing also what the response is. What do they think of what the federal response is? Are they suspicious of it? Are they, whenever there's a disaster, everybody wants more always. And a disaster like this, there's never going to be enough to it. But when he tweets things like that, do they get worried?
I mean, the reality is that you're in the island, you're seeing helicopters, trucks, people in the military uniform from the Coast Guard, Navy, Army Corps of Engineers, Marines, National Guard, Reserve. They're underground. They're using the uniform. They're the ones giving the boxes of FEMA. They're the ones installing the tarps. They're the one clearing the roads. So it's one thing what you tweet and the other one what you see. I mean, you are receiving...
But when they... I hear things from people and we've got reporting on the ground. I haven't been to Puerto Rico since the storm hit, but that's saying that it's so much... yes, there's a presence on the ground, but so much needs to be done that's
exactly.
not getting touched.
I mean, right?
And so
we need more.
That's why I wonder how, when there are people facing that situation and then they see a tweet like the one from the president where he says, well, you know, it's not going to be there forever, that and other things. Obviously, he's been
it,
in this.
It raised concern. It raised a lot of concern in terms of how long we're going to continue to be without power. I mean, Governor Scott told me yesterday that more than 20,000 Puerto Ricans just left the island in 2 weeks, in 20 days. 20,000 people.
Going to family and some, right? And
family,
and
relatives, et cetera. Yeah. But that's just Florida. We're not talking about the rest of the nation. So you will have a mass exodus of Puerto Ricans through the mainland. That will, of course, put in jeopardize the recovery of the island. But, I mean, recovery of the island is one thing. And the other one is people are still living there in a critical humanitarian situation. So one thing is the tweets and the comments, and the other one is, you know, is the help arriving? Is the money going to be allocated? Today, Congress acted.
What do you think about the way the mayor of San Juan has gone about this? She has... gotten into a back and forth with the president.
I will tell you this. I think everybody in the island is frustrated because we never expected to be hit by this kind of hurricane, and we never expected to be for so long without power.
Right.
So everybody is using their frustration in different ways. I know a lot of mayors that are around the clock working, calling, actually calling me directly, how can I connect with this agency? And they're on a daily basis. So people use different ways of express their frustration. I take my frustration and convert it into action. That's the way I work. That's
what she's doing helpful? Or is it...
That's the way the governor works. I will... You know what? We need so much help that I will not focus on, you know, comments of people at this time that, you know, maybe got their own agendas. We got 78 mayors.
I mean, the reason why I ask it is because it does seem like part of what's getting the president riled up is that she goes on TV and attacks him, and then he feels like he wants to respond on Twitter. And then it creates a situation where a tweet comes out that makes you concerned and that makes people on the island say what's going on.
That's the reason I will focus on results. I would not get into that fight. You know why? Because
I mean, it seems like you think that she's not being helpful.
Because I make an assumption on that, but what I'm telling you is when you have communities that are not connected anymore because the bridges were just washed away and the roads are, you know, collapsed, you need to establish what is the agenda. I mean, what is the priority? The priority for me, I think, is going to be the power grid.
When the president went to Puerto Rico, he made a comment about getting rid of the debt, that the debt was going to be wiped away. The White House then kind of walked that back. Where does that stand?
I don't know. I mean...
shouldn't you know?
For me, it was a surprise. I was a surprise when I heard it the first time. So
it's a lot of money to wipe away, right?
Yeah, and then the second time when the OMB director said that was not what he meant, he said to me, okay, I mean, we are starting stage one again. I mean, we never expected to have that kind of comment. But in reality, I think he tried... This is my two cents on that. He tried to open that kind of discussion, what to do with the debt. And the reality is that you got the Electric Power Authority, that is the one dealing with the power grid, is in bankruptcy. You have the PRASA, which is the water company, both owned by the government, being in a dire situation. So what we're going to do with that debt? That's the reality. We are in a bankruptcy procedure right now.
And this idea that part of the problem in the recovery is because of the debt, it's like sort of Puerto Rico's fault, has been out there and pushed by several people.
I mean, saying that Puerto Rico is bankruptcy as a way or excuse just to not to help is not wise. It's not American. and it's not rightful. I mean, we are a U.S. territory, and one of the problems because of that, one of the problems that triggers the debt is that for some reason we're treated as a state, for other ones we're treated as a separate country. So we don't have the tools to actually improve our economy to have access to many programs. I will tell you just one, Medicaid. Medicaid, some of the states, because of the poverty level, can receive up to 83% of reimbursement. Mississippi is one of them. But you know what? Puerto Rico has more people under the level of poverty than Mississippi, and we just received 55% of reimbursement. So that means that the state got to put the money on
the
table
to get
access. So a lot of the debt is related just to have access to the federal money. That's one of the things. Of course, there's been in the past a lot of bad way to deal with the economy of the island, but that's not all. So we need to fix that problem. I do agree on that. But this, are we talking about fixing the debt problem during a crisis where people are actually in the line to get into a hospital?
But the president is, right? He has raised that point.
He did it in tweet, but again, he sent the troops. He may have that comment in public, but then he sent all his federal agencies to the island to help. So one thing is what you say, and one thing is...
And you're a supporter of the president. You're a Republican, right? You've got a red Make America Great Again hat, and you're covered there, I saw, that he signed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I received it, yes.
was on Air Force One they signed it for you?
He signed it for me, and I asked for that.
Yeah.
So when you got... And I think this is not just Puerto Rico. You got the president saying something in tweet, and he actually hears a lot. I mean, that was the first time I was with the president.
Yeah.
And I asked him so many things from the island, and he granted them. I feel that he heard what I said, and he was listening, and he was caring. That was my impression, my personal impression. And actually, every time I called federal officials, cabinet members, I mean, they said, yes, the president just gave the instruction. So that's what I'm seeing.
And then
when I see those kind of tweets, I get in shock.
Shock is the word that you keep using about
it. I mean, it's so different.
Yeah.
So I prefer to expect, continue to receive the help and continue to receive the help of the federal agencies in the island, not because Puerto Rico is a charity, but because we are American citizens.
The question of statehood was bouncing around before this. You raised it in this. You'd rather it be a state. Do you
actually
think
that flag has 51 stars?
Look at that. Do you think that that's a real possibility? Does this storm change that? You sort of suggested that earlier, it gets people focused on things.
We voted in 2012, 61% of the people voted for statehood.
Yeah.
In June of this year, 97% of the people who voted for statehood. So this is an issue that the American people of Puerto Rico are decided already. We just need Congress to act. I filed a bill in January. I will be filing another bill. And actually, we got crossed during the hurricane because that was the week we were going to file a bill with other members regarding a transition process to statehood. So our life changed. Puerto Rico is not the same island that a month ago. And actually, we are back to the 90s. 1900s, I may say. We're back to the last century. I mean, people are washing their clothes in rivers or at the beach. It
could be for the better part of a year.
Sorry?
And could be for the better part of a year to come, right?
I never saw that before. I mean, my grandmother told me about that, but I never expected to live under those circumstances. So I think we should resolve this problem of representation. I mean, we don't have senators. I can't even vote on the floor. Thanks God, the leadership in the House is giving me the opportunity to explain the issues of Puerto Rico many times during the conference. And actually, there, every time I ask for something, it's been granted. The Speaker of the House got a great leadership doing this. And I hope this could be a business that is being taken care of by the federal government soon.
All right. Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
That was Jennifer Gonzalez, Congresswoman from Puerto Rico. Thanks, as always, to the indispensable Bridget Mulcahy for producing. Email me at isaac@politico.com. Like me on Facebook and on Twitter at Isaac Dover. Remember to subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss the rest of what's coming up. Holder, Pelosi, and more. And catch you next time on Off Message.